That was an extended intro.
Sure was.
All right. Hi, folks. It's Wednesday night at 9 p.m. There we go. Starting it off a little rocky tonight, but here we are. It's Wednesday night at 9 p.m. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay. My name is Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Becca's not feeling so great.
Becca's got a cold.
Becca's not feeling so great.
But I'm a trooper. I'm a trooper
a
for
trooper.
Our guest.
Oh, there we go. I can hear now. You are a trooper for our guest. Our guest tonight is Ari Shapiro from NPR. We have so many things to talk to him about.
I'm really excited
about that. So we'll be calling him a little bit later in the show. And then here's the really cool thing. So every time we reach out for a guest,
yes,
we say, hey, you can send us music and you
yeah,
can call the shots for the
everyone.
Night. And what music do you want? And nobody ever says anything. So we just assume that Eric Hyman wants his Eric Hyman music played and Ari Gold wants his Ari Gold music played. And we certainly played Susan Werner's music. But Ari Shapiro, and I hope he's okay with this. I'm going to ask him this a little bit later on. I would not say that Ari Shapiro is a musician that we know
Maybe
of.
Maybe he has. Maybe we should have researched more. Maybe we could have found the secret soundtrack of Ari Shapiro's high school musical or something.
Screwed up.
You kind of did.
Yeah, I know. I'm really sorry. But so I said, hey, Ari Shapiro, you know, you can send us music if you want to send us music. And you know what Ari Shapiro did? He said, here are the names of the songs.
He did.
So
how organized.
He was very organized, and I feel that's how he is. We're going to find out. So he sent me four different songs, and I did not have any of them on my iPod. So now I have four new songs in a folder called Ari Shapiro.
Wow.
So we're going to just start off right away. We have tons of stuff to talk about. It's been a particularly gay and active week. It's also freaking cold outside.
It is. Yeah. We've got a lot of snow lately.
Yeah, I'm not really into this whole Vermont thing right now, but that's okay. So we are going to play a song. This song is called That's Not My Name. It's by the Ting Tings.
Well, let's hear it.
Do you know the Ting Tings?
I do not.
I do not know the
Ting
Tings.
Is that because I'm a pop culture nightmare?
No, I don't know the Ting Tings either.
Okay, well, we're going
to
learn. We're educating ourselves.
Are you ready?
For Ari.
Okay, the Ting Tings, I think, are going to be playing very shortly. As we cue them up.
Oh, this is terrible.
No, it's coming. It's coming.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Four little words just to get me along. It's a difficulty and I'm biting on my tongue. And I keep stalling and keeping it together. People around gotta find something to say now. They forget my name. Aim. They call me help. They call me Stacy. They call me her. They call me Jane. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me Quite but I'm a liar. Mary Jo Lisa, always the same. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. I'm Mr. Catch if they throw me the ball. I'm the last trick standing up against the wall. Keep falling these heels that keep me boring. Getting clapped up and sitting on the fence now. So alone all the time and I lock myself away. Listen to me, Anna. I know I'm dressed up out and all with everything considered. They forget my name. Aim. They call me help.
Are you calling?
Those were the Ting Tings singing their song That's Not My Name off of their album We Started Nothing, and that was a request from our guest tonight, Ari Shapiro, who we'll be talking to in about 12, 13 minutes.
So not that we're counting,
not
but
that we're
we are.
The countdown has begun. This just in.
What's in? What's going on?
I love that you're just so out of it right
I'm
now.
I'm so high on cold medicine.
That was your eyes just got so bright and your
you
pupils are quite dilated and I don't think it's the news. But let's pretend it's the news.
It is the news.
So California's high court will hear the appeal of the gay marriage measure. Did you hear this? This was
no.
This was just a few minutes ago.
This is Justin.
This is Justin. I don't have a comfortable place for my computer, so I'm just going to hold it like this. I'm sure I could have come up with something better that you're about to come up with. But anyway, so three gay rights groups filed a challenge to Proposition 8, which I
knew about.
Yes,
that there were a bunch of groups all filed.
I thought you said you knew about Proposition 8. I'm like, me too.
Oh yeah,
I'm up
I
on
heard
that.
About Proposition 8 as well. But
The three groups filed a challenge to Proposition 8, and the group said that the ballot initiative, quote, was improperly used to strip away constitutional rights. In the interim, before the Supreme Court hears, the California Supreme Court hears the case, they are not going to interfere with the enforcement of the law. So there's, if you haven't gotten married already in California, you gotta wait.
Yeah.
You gotta wait. That's not happening yet. And so it was the state Supreme Court, this state Supreme Court that legalized gay marriage in their May 15th ruling. So now this is just going to be completely at odds. This is who wins, the judicial branch
or they're the legislating or from the bench
or the legislative branch. I do not know who will win. Someone's going to win and it's going to get ugly. But I thought that was, it really was just a few minutes ago that they said this.
Wow.
Thousands of people have been protesting all over the place. Wanda Sykes.
Yes.
Do you remember who Wanda Sykes was?
No.
We're going to say it's the drugs, though. Yeah. It was the drugs. So Wanda Sykes is a comedian. She's on The New Adventures of Old Christine. With,
I knew this. I knew this.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And you saw she came out at a rally this past weekend. And now I feel really bad because I've been very down on Wanda Sykes.
Why?
Because Wanda Sykes is in one of those public service announcements that says, oh, you could stop kids from using That's So Gay because they don't mean anything by it. Which I'm all for people stopping using the phrase, but as we've discussed many, many times.
They're trying to put us out of business. Those people?
The what?
Are they the ones that are trying to put us out of business?
Oh, yes. Well, because they're wrong. Because they're the ones that say that it's easy to stop kids from saying the phrase That's So Gay because the kids don't mean it. And our research... Look
yes,
how you just got credit on that.
Wow,
our research says that that's not true, that the kids do mean something by it. So I was really down on Wanda Sykes because she was advocating that kids don't mean anything by it, but now I don't care because she came out as a lesbian.
Nice. So you've just...
Folks, it's that
she gets
easy.
A pass?
Yes.
Wow.
If you come out at a rally...
If Ken's mad at you,
if Ken is
now
mad
you
at
know.
You, just come out at a rally. It's got to be at a rally. With the press
I'm going to
there.
Remember this in case you ever get mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to come out at a rally.
It's got to be at a rally. There have to be people there. I would like a reporter, preferably from the Associated Press or Ari Shapiro. You can come out to Ari
or
Shapiro.
Or This Show Is So Gay.
Oh, yes. If one of our correspondents is covering the rally and you come out, I won't be pissed anymore.
Okay. Excellent.
So that's fine.
Now I know.
I should probably do a shout out.
Okay.
There's this woman named Terry.
Hi, Terry. That's my grandmother's name. One, too. Hi, Terry. The other Terry.
Hi, Terry. And she's doing fine, your grandmother, Terry?
She's doing great.
Okay. That sometimes gets dicey. Terry, and what's her last name?
My grandmother's?
Yeah.
Trinkle.
Trinkle. Terry Trinkle, hello. Please listen to our podcast. But the Terry we're talking about right
yes.
now is Terry Schneck.
Oh.
Oh, mom.
That sounds like a
So I'm giving my mom a shout out because my mom and my dad, well, and my dad, Barry, too, because they listen to the podcast, as everyone should do to our podcast.
Wow.
At this
they're
show
listening.
Is so, they're listening to, at thisshowissogay.com. And my mom said that when I try to say something funny, I make my voice really low and you can't really hear it.
Oh, yeah, because we don't think it's funny either. It's probably the glares I'm giving him going, no, Ken,
that's
no.
That's not funny. Lower your
it's
voice.
It's not funny at all.
So, Mom, I'm sorry. It's not me. It's Becca. She was staring at me, and she said, that's not funny. And so I made my voice really low. So that's what's going on in California. And I had this whole backup plan where if you weren't feeling well, which and you couldn't come tonight, which I know you're not feeling well, but you're here and that's the important thing. My mom said that we could talk on the air. So I was really nervous. And but you're here. So
I am here. But you,
can we have my mom on a future show?
We could have her on tonight.
We could. We could call her right now.
We could call her. We have time.
No, we don't. We only have six, 7 minutes
and
until
then
Ari
Shapiro is on. But
yeah, no, my mom.
I want to talk to your mom.
Well, because I thought it was a little disparaging. Yeah, there's no insight. I thought I was a little bit disparaging to my mother last week when we were talking to Ari Gold, and I said that my mother was trying to get me to call all these different people. So I had to call my mom and apologize before she listened to the podcast. But we had a fantastic conversation, and we talked about that one of her regrets was our relationship at that time of coming out.
Really?
It made my voice really low, but I wasn't being funny. So it was really nice. So that's my shout out to my mom and everybody
else
who's listening into our podcast. And because we know that no one is listening to the web stream right now because it's not working.
Right.
So we will have our
podcast. We're getting no love from the station right now.
But we ordered.
I think they heard we were ordered. Coming.
Proposition 7, lock the station. We have t-shirts on the way. Our website's looking fantastic. You could give us a call right now if you're listening somehow. But if you're listening on the podcast, don't call.
Right.
Or call and know that you will get somebody else. And there's tons of other people who do shows. This station is more than just Becca and I. So you should call up.
For now.
Although we received the comment on iBrattleboro that they wish that we were a 2-hour show.
Oh, excellent. Did you write that?
No, it wasn't
Did
me.
Did Andrew write that?
It wasn't me.
Someone
I
else
didn't
wants us
say
more?
That.
Wow.
That was me. Okay, so there was that story about Proposition 8. There's so many stories about Proposition 8. But then there was another one. I thought as I scroll up on this computer that doesn't seem to be working. Okay. There was another story that said that I want to read it to you because I don't want to get it wrong. I don't feel like getting things wrong tonight. We're going to talk about that with Ari Shapiro. Okay. That gay marriage bans harm mental health.
For everyone?
Well, no, I think it was just talking about gays. Amendments that restrict civil marriage rights of same-sex couples, such as Proposition 8 that recently passed in California, have led to higher levels of stress and anxiety among lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender adults, as well as among their families of origin.
Yes, it causes illness, physical
that's
illness.
That's what they're saying, according to the American Psychological Association.
Look what you've done to me, America.
It wasn't
or
all
listen
of America.
To what you've done to me, America.
So the APA, the American Psychological Association, found a link between gay... Oh, don't cough. I feel bad. Use your hand sanitizer. It's right there. We're going to go through that whole bottle. That these gay marriage bans are actually affecting people's psychological health, that they are not doing as well. They did qualitative and quantitative studies in the states that have the gay marriage bans, as opposed to, and they measured them pre and post ban. So they did this whole study. So you are affecting, these bans are affecting our health.
Lame-o. That's the technical
term.
The
technical term. And
lame-o.
It actually says that.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
American Psychological Association classifies them in DSM-4 on page 38 as lame-o.
Yes, I want that on a t-shirt. Can we get that on one of our t-shirts?
We have to get our first. We have to get our
Becca
t-shirts
Becca says,
first
gay marriage bans are lame-o.
That's very true.
This show is sogay.com.
All right, so we're going to pick up the beats a little bit with another song called, it's D period, A period, N period, C period, E period. I don't want to just jump to conclusions and say that it's called dance because I'm reading it as it is written. So it could be an acronym that stands for...
Is.
Do all... Yeah, that's all I got. All right, so we are going to play a song called Dance. Don't answer nicely.
Conservative.
Nice conservative evangelicals.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Ooh, we're going to get some mail.
Oh, wow.
That was not good.
That's
that
like an ink
good.
Blot test right
Susan
here.
Susan Werner is not going to be happy that we were just so disparaging. Okay, so we're going to play the song called Dance.
We love Susan Werner.
We love Susan Werner. We want her back. By a group called Justice, or maybe a singer called Justice. This is an Ari Shapiro tune off of their album. Oops, sorry. I got so excited to cue it up off of their album Cross. So here we go. Thank you. All right, that was the group Justice singing their song D-A-N-C-E. Beck and I were dancing around the studio.
We were.
And it was good times. It was good times. And with that, we welcome tonight's guest to our show. Ari Shapiro, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Ken. Hey, Becca.
Hello.
How's it going? We got dressed up for you and everything, Ari.
Oh, thank you. You know, I get dressed up every time I'm on the radio.
Do you?
So listeners will know I care about them.
You're very well dressed in the picture, so we have that assumption already.
Oh, yeah. Everybody comes to work at NPR in tuxedos. It's a rule you can't go into the studio and sit in front of the microphone unless you're at least wearing a jacket and tie.
Can we jump right to that?
The engineer will give you one, yeah.
Carl Castle, you've met him?
He's like a wonderful Wilford Brimley-esque, brilliant, grandfatherly icon of journalism.
Because I must tell you, this is my NPR week, because this week last year was my... contestant gig on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Me. You were a contestant?
I was.
Did you win?
I did win. I couldn't...
What did Carl say on your voicemail?
He was just classic. I gotta loop that up here on this show one night, but he said I was a NPR special correspondent in the field. It just made me sound much more important, Ari, than...
You know, one of my favorite things about that show is that they still use the term answering machine, even though nobody in America owns an answering machine anymore.
They do here... They do here in Vermont, Ari.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I do. I also own a radio.
No, they have a whole on the corner store. There's a Birkenstock answering machine special if you buy both.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Ari, we have so much to talk to you about. It's hard to even know where to begin, but we're going to start.
All yours.
Okay. Tell us about that song that we just listened to first before we even get to stuff.
So the first time I ever hosted Weekend Edition Sunday, I've been lately filling in as a guest host on various shows. Last week I was hosting Morning Edition. And the first time I ever hosted Weekend Edition Sunday, I asked our music guru, Bob Boylan, whether there were any good bands coming through town who I could do a segment on. And he said, oh, yeah, there's this great electronica duo, blah, 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 blah. They're called Justice. And he did not realize the great coincidence of me being NPR's Justice correspondent.
Look at that.
That is pretty great.
Justice. And so I began my piece about them by saying, you know, in my 3.5 years as NPR's Justice correspondent, I've never actually interviewed Justice until now. And
the stars aligned.
Isn't that nice?
And earlier we listened to the Ting Tings.
Yeah, the Ting Tings have been kind of my summer workout music. They're a British duo, a man and a woman, and I kind of think of them as like, I mean, if anyone from the B-52s is listening, they might be offended at my saying this, but I kind of think of them as like a 21st century B-52s.
I don't think the B-52s would be offended by that.
Well, because they just released an album of their own.
Yeah.
So I would think the B-52s would like to think of themselves as 21st century.
No, they don't.
In my mind, you know, the Ting Tings, they have that kind of campy, really fun vibe, much like the B-52s, but they're very, like, you know, of the moment. In fact, that song, That's Not My Name, one of my favorite things about it is it begins with the sound of a jump rope swishing through the air.
See, Ari, what you don't know is that every time we have a guest on, we write to them and we say, hey, you can call the music for the night, and nobody ever calls the music for the night. You are the first person to actually say, this is the music
that
we want.
Even the musicians.
Being on your show.
What?
That was the biggest reason for me being on your show, is that I get to pick the music.
We're not your personal playlist, Ari Shapiro.
I thought it would be a selling point to people.
It's a huge incentive.
All right. Well, you win.
Even the musicians have ignored that request from us.
We play their music by default. We just assume. We assume. But we didn't know if you had your own music for us to play.
I am not a recorded artist.
Were you in any, like, high school musicals or anything that we could have found and embarrassed you terribly with?
I will answer that question off the record.
Okay. That was a good journalistic answer. Which brings us to, did you see, I can only assume you did, Keith Olbermann's speech? I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, you mean the one on Prop 8?
Yes.
The rant.
What I think is really interesting is that for years and years there has been a very strong presence on the right on cable news. And it is really only very recently that this strong cable news presence on the left has emerged with Keith Olbermann and now Rachel Maddow, who has, you know, boosted MSNBC's ratings an incredible amount.
She's fantastic.
And, you know, it kind of surprises me that with 8 years of a conservative administration in the White House, that it took really until, like, you know, the last year or two for this kind of liberal alternative to Fox News to really make its presence and its voice felt on cable news.
So it's okay that he was pretty partisan on that?
Well, I think that's his role. I mean, I don't think he pretends to be unbiased in the same way that Bill O'Reilly doesn't pretend to be unbiased. They both have points of view that they put out there. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think is especially valuable about having MSNBC kind of take this leftward tilt is that it helps, I think, counteract the myth that Fox News is center and everything else is left of center. It kind of shows, well, no, you know, Fox News is right of center, MSNBC is left of center, and, you know, NPR is dead in the middle.
Do you sometimes want to just do what I will now call a verb, a Keith Olbermann, and just break out in a segment and say, Harvey Milk has relevance.
I value what Keith Olbermann does. I think perspectives and points of view are really important for the public discourse. You know, the editorial and op-ed pages are one of the first things I read in the newspaper in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also an important role for, you know, the thing I do every day. And I'm really privileged to be able to do that. And so there's never been a time where I've thought, God, I just want to, you know, go out there and go on a rant about how I feel about this, because that's really not my role. And I, you know, I feel like there are people doing that on all sides of the political spectrum very effectively, and I really enjoy the role that I play. You know, I get to kind of be the storyteller and the narrator. And the fact is, I haven't done stories about gay marriage because I do have a personal stake in it. And even though I think I could do those stories from a fair, unbiased perspective, just the appearance of bias is enough that, you know, there are plenty of other stories for me to do.
And so, that's
the role I play.
We want you to do, then, your thing right now, because we're here in Vermont. and Beck is a little sick tonight, so sorry about the coughing.
Sorry, Becca.
I'm sorry. I did have chicken soup today.
Good. With some matzo balls or not?
No, matzo balls.
All right.
Sorry.
Anyway, so we're up here in Vermont. They called Vermont for Obama the day before Election Day. And put it there on the map, so nobody really listens to us, and we don't really have a good perspective of the country. And we're okay with that. We're on our lofty perch. So we're not seeing what our guests each week are seeing out there in the world.
Right.
So we want to hear some of what you're seeing in terms of, particularly in terms of some of the emotions you're seeing. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about what makes a leader and whether or not the LGBT community currently has, we heard this great report on NPR last week, I think it was actually on Morning Edition, about Harvey Milk.
Yeah, my friend Etta Ulubi did that, who you should also have on the show. She's terrific.
Okay. Will you tell her?
I'll tell her.
Okay.
Tell her that we're real people. We're not spam.
People know that radio people are real people.
Okay. I mean, I have to tell you, not to boost you up, although we enjoy doing that, you opened the floodgates for us. You gave us street cred.
Really?
All these people who said, well, not so much, now are saying, oh, yes, I'll absolutely be on your show. So we're.
Did you tell them I was someone else?
No. We are exploiting the NPR good name.
Well, more power to you. NPR and Vermont have a long-standing relationship.
Look at that.
Now
I feel like we're doing our part.
We are. We're trying.
So anyway, so the report was still fantastic because we talk weekly about Harvey Milk is absolutely my hero. And the report was in some ways kind of devastating for me to hear that, particularly with youth, he perhaps doesn't have that much relevance, which brings us to, do you see a leader out there, and do we need one?
The short answer, no and yes.
Any suggestions?
You know, one of the problems about gay history is that, you know, people in most minority groups, as you well know, are raised by parents of the same minority group.
Right.
And so there is a handing down of the history and the myths and the icons and the heroes that just doesn't happen in the gay community. I mean, I remember, you know, I came out when I was 16, and I went to this gay youth group in Portland, Oregon, and that's where I learned what Stonewall was. I'd never even heard of Stonewall.
Right.
So it's sad but not surprising to me that a lot of young gay people today don't know who Harvey Milk was, because, you know, aside from now Gus Van Sant's great new movie, what opportunity do they have to learn about him?
Have you seen it already?
No, you know what, actually, I was invited to a showing, but it was last week when I was hosting Morning Edition, when my bedtime is 6 p.m., so I can wake up at 2 a.m.
Oh, my
gosh. So I wasn't able to go to the advanced showing, but I'm going to see it when it comes out in theaters.
Have you heard good things?
Oh, yeah.
I'm really nervous.
He said he just wept.
Okay, good.
In a good way?
And also, Gus Van Sant is a Portlander, so, you know.
You guys stick together.
You know, a strong tie to him and his films and his work. So I look forward to seeing the movie, but I haven't yet. But, you know, in answer to your question about a gay leader, yes, America needs one. No, I don't know where that's going to come from. And, you know, no, I don't think that any of the mainstream gay groups have really succeeded at staking that position and commanding the kind of urgency and credibility and respectability that, you know, such a leader would have to command.
So, I mean, because you interact with, in your role, as it kind of annoys me that it says justice correspondent, because you do so much more guest hosting than that, and...
Well,
I don't know. I think you're bigger than...
I cover injustice from time to time.
You do a lot
more than
that.
But I kind of like the title. I feel like it's a bit of a kind of, I don't know, superhero sort of...
Oh, no. They're, you know, they're powers.
The intelligence correspondent has the same kind of thing going for her. She's the intelligence correspondent, you know.
That's pretty cool, too.
That is really cool.
So, in your interactions with leaders, what qualities do you think that the gay community really needs right now in a leader for someone to step forward?
I mean, you look at any great leader, it doesn't have to be a gay role model. You look at somebody like Barack Obama. What made him so charismatic, so compelling? I mean, why were people so much more enthusiastic about him than they were about John Kerry and Al Gore? It wasn't just because of their policy positions. It was because of the desire people had to listen and to and follow what he was saying and the enthusiasm that he created. I mean, you know, I think we need to have somebody who somehow can stop the infighting in the gay community, stop the civil war and the turf battles, and you know, galvanize people, bring them together in a way that, frankly, in my entire life, I've never seen gay people rally over anything the way they've rallied around Prop 8 in the last week or two.
And with some really cool signs.
Yeah. No more Mr. Nice Gay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
If you ban our weddings, we'll stop planning yours.
That's a good one. There's one, I have to tell you, my favorite one that I saw online today was, you're making Ellen sad.
Oh.
And I just thought that was fantastic, because I think that actually will change some behavior.
Yeah.
I think some people...
Well, you know, the other thing is, I don't think you can overstate the importance of just having visible role models.
Right.
People like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, people like Rachel Maddow, people who, you know, folks in middle America can turn on the TV every night and get to know somebody who happens to be gay and get to know them on the basis of something other than solely their sexual orientation.
Right.
You know, when I came out, when I was, this was in the mid-90s, it wasn't that long ago, I just assumed that every gay person had to grow up to be a florist or a hairstylist.
Yes.
Not that there is anything wrong with being a florist or a hairstylist.
Not at all.
But, obviously, gay people can do whatever they want to do. And not very long ago, there were no images of that in mainstream society. And I think just kind of having people out there doing an enormous range of things and being gay, you just can't overstate the significance of the impact that that can have.
Yeah, the only gay person that I truly recall seeing at that time was Matt on Melrose Place.
Yeah.
And he wasn't allowed to kiss.
Well, there was also The Real World.
Oh.
That was a big,
groundbreaking
show.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I remember Norman. I remember that first season of The Real World. But the news this morning, that as we have gathered it, was that on Obama's website, President-elect Obama's website, he articulates an 8-point plan about how he's going to address LGBT civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a I mean, it's fantastic.
This is on change.gov?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And passage of the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act, gender inclusive, yes. And I mean, tons of different things, which is just fantastic. And yet it makes me nervous.
How so?
I get nervous just because I mean, I was not a voting age when Clinton took office, right. But I remember how strongly he came out of the gate and said he was going to get rid of the ban on gays in the military, and that's really where Don't Ask, Don't Tell came from.
Yeah, well, I mean...
So I get nervous.
You know, I'm not predicting the future.
Right.
One big difference between...
You can, Ari.
...Clinton coming in and Obama coming in is that they're 58 now, you know, potentially 59 or 60 since there are still two undecided races. There are at least 58 Democrats in the Senate, and maybe not every one of them is going to vote for every one of Barack Obama's policies, but he's going to have a much easier time accomplishing most of his agenda than President Clinton had. I mean, the other thing is, when it comes specifically to Don't Ask, Don't Tell and gays in the military, a lot has changed in the last 16 years. I mean, just last week, maybe it was this week, more than 100 retired military officials, many of whom had opposed repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, signed a letter in support of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I really think, you know, it's just a matter of time until that changes. I mean, just looking at the rhetoric that you hear on Capitol Hill, even from many Republicans, I don't think Don't Ask, Don't Tell is long for this world.
Ari Shapiro, if you were telling me not to worry, I'm good.
As I say, I can't read the future, but I don't want you to worry.
Okay.
I want you to sleep soundly.
That's great.
You're gonna be fine tonight.
I'm going to sleep like a rock.
She's pretty drugged out right now, Ari, on the cold medicine.
Yeah, but I've got to say, I've definitely seen a lot more people coming out and just living their lives more visibly lately in my day-to-day life.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. In the last couple of years, I feel like it's just become more acceptable to come out doing whatever.
Yeah. It's funny. I will occasionally get an email from a listener who maybe has read about me someplace or, you know, seen me quoted in a gay publication and say, you know, it's so great that you're kind of out there and gay and doing your thing. And to me, it was never a question. It was just kind of obvious. It never felt like I was making a decision to kind of be an out journalist. I was just, you know, I've been out since I was 16 and I made a decision to be a journalist.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But it's remarkable in its own right.
Well, you know, it's a testament to my family and society and the community I was raised in and, you know, the environment that allowed me to be a comfortable, reasonably well-adjusted gay teenager. That environment just really didn't exist very many years before I came of age.
Right.
Well, last year I was teaching Sunday school and I had a 10-year-old girl come out.
Wow.
10 years old.
Although
and she
Ari,
felt comfortable coming out in a church environment, which was pretty impressive, I thought.
But you realize, Becca, Ari just articulated our dream that we said on the first show.
What dream is that?
Of just someone writing us and saying that.
Yeah.
Well, whether they've written or not yet, I'm sure someone is listening.
We said that's the day that we go off the air, so we just have visions of people writing in and saying, oh, yes, we're gay, get off the air. But that hasn't happened yet. We anticipate that happening. So you were in New York recently.
Yeah, I was in New York last weekend.
And how was that?
It was great. I was there for the Out 100 party. And it was, I realize this makes me sound like a provincial small town kid.
Bring it on.
It was the most fabulous party I've ever been to in my life. It was amazing.
There were a lot of, I saw pictures online. There were a lot of people there.
There were a lot of people there. We have fancy parties in Washington, but they're rather buttoned up.
Right.
This one was pretty awesome.
No, I can tell you that when I was a junior at NYU, I was told, because I was a journalism major at the time, before I switched to medieval studies, and it was an easy transition, oddly, the journalism department said, you have to go get an internship somewhere, you need to do some sort of internship at a magazine or newspaper or some press. So I went to Out Magazine, and I walked over to I think it was on Green Street. I don't know if it still is. And I said, hey, do you have any openings for an intern? And so they made me an intern. And of course I thought, well, I'm going to write editorials now. But apparently it doesn't work like that. And I interned for the events planning.
Oh, fun.
So I was stuffing gift bags and it was, Out Magazine can throw a party.
They sure can.
So there were some interns who were working their butts off so you could have a good party.
There you go.
So
that's
Thanks
good.
To all those interns, if any of them are listening.
But they can grow up. Yeah, they can grow up to have a show on a local access
You know, one of the funniest things about the party was that I ran into a guy who went to my high school 4 years before I did. And we didn't know each other because we were 4 years apart, but he recognized me because he knew my older brother and thought I just looked so much like him. He said, are you Dan Shapiro? And I said, no, I'm Ari Shapiro. And he said, oh, my God, did you go to Beauty? Anyway, so,
that's weird.
So we had this crazy connection. We were both in the Out 100 this year.
Oh,
and
wow.
We ended up reminiscing about all the teachers who we knew were gay, but no one else knew were gay, and they weren't out back in the 90s. You know, and now our high school has a gay-straight alliance, and it's just everything is completely different.
Yes. When you wrote that, I was telling Ari this online. It inspired me to go back to my high school and ask some questions about whether or not they have a gay-straight alliance.
And do they?
No. And there was a chuckle.
Wow.
So I'm going to...
Oh, dear.
It was actually one of the highlights of my professional career was going back to my high school when I was doing a lot more trainings on LGBT issues and doing an LGBT 101 workshop there at the high school. And I was, you know, I'd done hundreds of these and gone around and toured around and done all these different things. But I got totally choked up when I went to this high school because, oh, there was the locker where someone said something mean. And I know.
Somebody said something mean.
Someone's, whatever. Oh. I'm sure he's a really nice guy now.
I think something that has really changed the landscape is when I was in high school, you know, one big roadblock to starting something like a gay-straight alliance was getting school permission to advertise in the halls, because if you didn't put up a poster, nobody knew it was happening.
Absolutely.
And now that there's Facebook, I really think students have a lot more freedom to create those kinds of things and sort of circumvent the, you know, bureaucratic system.
Right,
absolutely.
But actually, Facebook also makes it more visible to people who you might not want to know. I mean, that kind of puts it out there. Students can't have, like, a secret group, you know,
right,
that is just meeting at lunchtime without anybody really noticing. It's on your list of groups, and anybody who wants to be your friend will see it. So that's interesting, too.
Yeah, this whole cyber culture was not there when
But
we
people
were in
don't
high
seem
school.
To hesitate because of that, where I see people our age and older wouldn't want that.
Right.
Right.
Right. So you had an amazing time at the Out 100 party. Where was it?
It was at a place called Gotham Hall at 36th and Broadway, and I don't know what the space was originally intended for, but it's just this huge, cavernous, you know, elegant, circular space with towering ceilings, and a big stage up in front where there were performers from Cirque du Soleil, and Patti LaBelle reunited with her backup singers for the first time in 30 years.
Oh, my God.
They just recorded a new album, and this was their first reunion performance. They were amazing. They brought down the house. Sam Sparrow performed. You know, he has the big single Black and Gold.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Padma Lakshmi was there presenting an award. I mean, it was just...
So enjoyable.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, really an incredible
And they don't rank the people, right? It's just there's 100 people.
No, but somebody was going around introducing himself as 98 all evening. But I think that was just his own self-conception.
All right. We also heard or read... Becca read, right, about some crazy running?
What?
Doesn't Ari Shapiro do some crazy
parkour
running?
Parkour.
Oh, yeah, I do parkour. I'm a little bit addicted to it.
That just means you're like ADHD.
It is.
With focus, though.
It's amazing.
Channeling the hyperactivity.
I've never even heard of it.
Well,
yeah, he's
going to,
like, jump over walls.
Casino Royale, the opening chase sequence in Casino Royale is parkour. And it's sort of, you know, in the same way that if you think of the fight or flight instinct.
Okay.
If martial arts are about mastering fight, parkour is about mastering flight.
Right,
and
so he's
it's about
running away very efficiently.
What did you say?
Running away very efficiently.
Exactly. Over walls, from rooftop to rooftop, scaling buildings, vaulting over fences, and it's all about flow and momentum and fluidity of motion.
Ari Shapiro, I feel like you've sustained an injury doing this.
No, you know, I scraped my shin.
He's a superhero. He doesn't get hurt.
Right. He's justice.
Like
he's justice.
That's right. I'm the justice correspondent.
You are the you have the cape, and it flows behind you as you do this activity that I've never heard.
You need to get a phone booth for your apartment or
there
house.
There are no more phone booths. What are you talking about? Does Vermont still have phone booths, too?
No,
phone
but for the machine? Costume change.
Right.
You know, like a cell tower isn't really...
I'm totally freaked out that my students are doing this thing.
It's really big on college campuses. But you shouldn't
what,
be
parkour?
Freaked out. It is an incredible discipline, is what people call
all
it.
Right.
And you know, you start small and you start low and you work your way up, and there are very basic moves that anybody can practice. I mean, you know, one move is called a precision jump. So you take, like, a sidewalk curb, and you stand 3 feet away, and you jump, and you try to land perfectly right on the curb. And then you jump from a little farther, and then you pick something a little higher, and then the next thing you know, you're jumping up on a railing and balancing there.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to do that.
Okay. That's all right.
I'm going to stick to my cardio kickboxing here in Brattleboro.
But that's will you come up here too. and do some parkour?
Totally.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. So what I mean, in addition to just listening to you daily, are there any stories that you're doing coming up that you're really excited about?
Oh, you know, we're constantly focusing on the transition, the Bush to Obama transition, on every new appointee and what's going to happen at the Justice Department, because there has been so much turmoil there in the last couple of years.
Has there?
Actually, there's one story I heard about that I just heard about this last night.
Okay.
That I'm really excited about doing, and I'll tell you as long as you promise not to go do it ahead of me.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, Ari, we don't break stories here on this show.
Well, there are these murals all throughout the Justice Department.
Okay.
And they were painted by WPA artists, you know, given work during the Depression. And there is one mural over the stairwell that leads up to the library. And it almost was not hung up because it was so controversial. And the mural shows a cowering black man on the steps of a courthouse, and a lynch mob with torches, and a judge standing between the two, holding back the mob.
Wait, why is that still there?
All of these murals are still up there. It's an anti-lynching mural, and this was hung above the steps going up to the library.
I feel like PBS did a special on those murals at some point.
Well, this one was hung above the steps going up to the library so that every lawyer going to research a legal brief in the library would have a reminder that this is who he's supposed to be. This is the role that he's supposed to play, holding back the unruly mob from the person who cannot defend him.
Huh.
But this anti-lynching message was so controversial in the 30s that it almost was not hung, you know, put up in the Justice Department.
We're there with you, Ari.
Sorry.
We're there with you.
Bad.
Fight or flight, Ari. Keep going.
Anyway, and the timing of this story is great because, of course, we're about to see the first African-American attorney general nominated to the post, which would be Eric Holder. We learned this week that Obama intends to tap him. So anyway, that's a story I'm really excited about doing. And I was just talking to NPR's photo editor, because now, of course, we have this website that gives us all kinds of capabilities doing visual stuff, about putting together a great slideshow to accompany the story on the radio. So keep your ears open.
We are going to keep our ears open for that. You've done an amazing job guest hosting the past couple weeks.
Thanks a lot.
It's been very enjoyable listening on the way to work. I'm Ari Shapiro.
Yeah, it's a fun change of pace, although it is a rough schedule, I got to tell you. I don't know how Steve and Renee wake up at 2 every morning.
2 in the morning.
That is
actually
rough.
Actually, Steve is waking up at 2. Renee's in Los Angeles. She's waking up at 11 p.m.
Oh, how do you go to sleep at 6?
Well, on Sunday night, it's really hard. And then you're so exhausted Monday that it's really easy.
Oh, well, there you go.
For the week, you're on the schedule.
Well, Ari Shapiro, you have given us a street cred that I almost don't feel like we deserve. But we're
going to
take it. We're going to take it. And it really helps me with my students, too. I think the Carl Castle on my voicemail got me through a year. And this
I can't compare to Carl Castle.
And yet, here you are. Because this is a person-to-person. So you got to set up the next song for us, because I feel like you picked a song that I just am not going to be able to say the name of it right, and I'm going to feel really stupid.
Okay, the song's called Autrefois.
You already know what I'm going to say. There you go.
And this is a band that I have a really close relationship with, because one of the first stories I ever did for NPR when I was but a wee tyke was a profile of this band and why it was taking them so long to come out with their second album. They're a band from my hometown of Portland, Oregon. They're called Pink Martini. And in working on the story and in the years since, I've become really good friends with the band leader, who's the pianist, the lead singer, China Forbes, the pianist's name is Thomas Lauderdale. And so we've become very close. You know, because this was the first story I did so many years ago, I now find that story virtually unlistenable, but I still listen to this band's albums all the time.
Oh.
And this is, I like this song because it's got kind of a trip-hop beat to it. It's kind of moody and introspective, and one of my favorite songs.
Well, that's gonna get us through our night now. Ari Shapiro, you have been just astronomically generous with your time, and we just adore having you on, and hope you can call back another night.
Thanks, I'd love to. And Becca, I hope you feel better soon.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you come on sometime when I'm a little less high and a little more with it, because I have so many questions I'd love to ask you, but
it's
I'm just
deal.
Yeah.
Ari, be careful with the whole running around.
I will be careful.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to queue up Pink Martini right now. Thank you, Ari Shapiro.
All right, have a good night, you guys.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
cris des Montoux à toutes les filles de France. J'espère qu'elles y répondent. J'ai juré que je serai contente avant la fin de l'année. J'écris des mots doux à toutes les filles de France chaque jour et chaque nuit. Mais à la fin de l'année, je suis encore seule dans mon lit. Je ne manque à personne. C'est un bon moment autrefois. Beaucoup de tristesse quand la lune est pleine. Quelle fête, quelle danse et quelle chanson se passe sans moi. Le soir commence comme une vieille chanson, mais je ne peux pas chanter. J'ai oublié la mélodie il y a quelques années. Je ne manque à personne, mais ce n'est pas grave. J'ai déjà passé un bon moment, un bon moment autrefois. J'ai déjà passé un bon moment, un bon moment
That was autrefois.
Close.
We'll go with it. I took Spanish by Pink Martini, as selected by our just
fabulous
unbelievable
guest,
Ari Shapiro, who I'm writing him a message right now, was just so absurdly generous with his time. So we hope to have him back.
Absolutely.
Every week.
Every week.
He is the justice correspondent and the official correspondent of This Show Is So Gay. So someone should probably tell him that. When the difference is, we will actually get him a cape.
We should send him a t-shirt with the cape.
Oh, we should send him a t-shirt.
We should. With a cape that says justice.
Justice. So there was another story that I want to talk about, which I thought was really interesting.
Okay, bring it on.
eHarmony.
eHarmony, the website that has no gays?
It does now. But only because they got sued. And it's really lame. So eHarmony settled their gay discrimination suit. The online dating service eHarmony has agreed to stop discriminating against gays and lesbians. The company has long refused to provide service to gays. I love the phrase to gays. It just annoys
me.
The gays. eHarmony said on Tuesday it has reached a settlement with the Attorney General's office. This is the lamest thing, though. The company said it will start a new separate service for the gays.
For the gays.
But it's not going to be called eHarmony, because they can't be integrated. It has to be a separate service.
And what is it going to be called?
This is so painful.
E-Discord?
Oh, that was really good.
Yes,
look, you're drugged
I'm
out.
I'm with
you're,
it.
Yes. No, it's called Compatible Partners.
Oh my god, that's so lame.
It should be called, like...
This site is so lame.
Hands, you know, it's just so ridiculous.
Wow, that sounds like the website we would use to find guests for the show.
Exactly. Are you
or
a compatible partner with our show?
Or to find people who could fix the website, you know?
Although, can we honestly say that anyone that someone's not a compatible partner with our show?
No, everyone is compatible with our show.
If you are sitting there thinking, I really want to be on this show, but I'm not sure if I'm a compatible partner.
You are compatible.
You are. And we will have you on as our guest.
And we will love you. And we will talk
love
about you.
And if we get angry at you, you just have to come out at a rally. And that's it. And then we will be fine with you. So as you all know, there are so many ways to get in touch with us. And we want to tell you about some of them.
How could they get in touch with us?
Well, Becca, they could go to our website.
What's the website again?
The website is thisshowisogay.com. And odds are they already know that because they're listening to the podcast that we started uploading on there.
And they're pretty amazing, aren't they?
I love our podcasts.
It's very exciting. We have podcasts now.
We have podcasts.
You can't download them and take them with you because of legal issues, but you can play them.
I've already had people ask if they can do that.
Nope, but you can stick the stereo up on loud and go do your laundry. But
we also want people to join our Facebook group.
We do.
Did you see how many people are in it?
There are a lot of people on there.
123.
Yeah, it's almost like we have friends.
Our show has friends. It's not us. It's our show. Our show is a person. And so we have t-shirts. You could also go to Zazzle.com. If you go to Zazzle.com and type in "This Show Is So Gay," you can order... swag from our show. You can get either t-shirts or magnets, and some of the proceeds from those go back to our show.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you should order them. I know they're a little pricey, but
it's a good cause. It's definitely not a
we're bringing
good
LGBT
cause,
yes, we're bringing LGBT stories and comments and views.
Or you could always make a donation to WVEW.
That would be good.
Fabulous parent station.
And we could really use it right now
because
the web streaming is down. So we need it, folks.
They're the first station that decided to allow us on the air, but
exactly.
Any day now.
That's where we're starting
up. Syndication.
So we have really exciting shows coming up. We're going to take a break next week.
Are we?
Oh, I figured we would because it's Thanksgiving.
Okay.
The day before.
Okay.
Oh, are you going to be here?
I'm going to be here.
Oh, I'm not going to be here.
Well, have a lovely trip.
All right. We're going to come back all well and refreshed. And then we're going to come back the week after Thanksgiving and singer-songwriter Scott, that's Scott with a K, Scott Friedman is
Scott
going to be on.
Scott with a K.
It is. He's awesome.
Okay.
He's awesome. And then the week after that, which I think is December 10th, Scout Cloud Lee, who
Survivor.
She came in third on one of the seasons on Survivor. And people who watch Survivor know that the people come in third are really the winners. Because when you come in, don't make that face at me. Listeners, she's making a face. When you come in third, it means that the top two had to get rid of you because they knew the jury would have voted for you and given you $1 million.
Oh, I see.
See, I had a whole reason behind this.
That's a lot of reasoning.
I had a whole reason behind this.
We have music?
Scout Cloudley is going to be on there. We're going to play one more song, and then we're going to...
And who chose this song?
Ari Shapiro.
Ari Shapiro.
Although we're probably not going to play the whole thing because we're running out of time.
You mean the Ari Shapiro from NPR?
Oh, man. He is just the justice correspondent.
I know.
He's got a J, and he does this activity where he flies around.
I really want a picture of him, like, jumping with a cape and a big J. It would be awesome.
We're going to play...
There were hand gestures to go with that, but people are missing it.
Cracking me up. I mean, what people can't see right now are her pupils. She sounds great, but you should see her pupils. They're freaking me out. All right, so we're going to play some classical music.
Sounds great.
All right, here we go.
Let's do that.
We'll be right back.
that was the overture from Candide.
Sure was.
Ari, why he queued that up? But then I told Andrew about it. I said, "Oh, Ari Shapiro wanted the overture to Candide," and Andrew said, "Oh my God, I love that!" So
there you go. It was for Andrew.
So we want to do a quick little shout out to the guy who was trying to pick up Becca.
Well, this actually has happened to me a couple of times in the last week. It's been awkward. I don't know what's going on. I must have some like hormone thing going on.
On Zazzle, you can get business cards with the show's name on them.
Oh, we need to do
this. Okay, I'm going to get that. So you can give it out to people and just say, "Oh, thank you so much for courting me.
Please listen to this show." Now that my hair grew out.
Me too.
I need to wear like a rainbow pin or something.
No, you just have to give out these business cards.
Okay.
All right. All right, folks. We're oddly... Gosh, these shows go so fast, especially when we have amazing guests.
Yeah,
and
it was Ari's fault.
It was Ari's fault. Ari,
come
on,
back.
Man.
We miss
Please
you.
Come back. So we want to thank Ari Shapiro. We want to thank all of you for listening. You've been listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. Get in touch with us through Facebook. Go to our website. Send us an email. Send us a snail mail. We haven't gotten our first
piece
of mail
yet. And what would that address be?
This show is so gay. P.O. Box 1185, Brattleboro, Vermont. Spelled like it sounds. Maybe not. 05302-1185. And you can find all of that information on the Contact Us page on This Show is So Gay. And we have received criticism that we need to add more in the about. But we're waiting until we get the t-shirt so we can
post
the t-shirts.
We need to go and get our photos taken together or something.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that. All right, folks. Beck and I are wishing you just the happiest Thanksgiving. We gay folks are happy and thankful for you.
We are.
Thank goodness for listeners. Our listeners. We just assume you're out there. We're going to keep going anyway. So have a happy Thanksgiving. Say hi to your families on behalf of us. If you're not... into causing a scene, maybe don't come out at the Thanksgiving dinner. This show is so gay does not endorse coming out at Thanksgiving dinner. Can we sign on to that?
We can sign on to that, though. I have a few good jokes for you when we go off the air.
I didn't even cue up the other music, but that's okay. All right, so folks, that's it for us. We hope you tune in 2 weeks from tonight when we welcome Scott Friedman. And that's pretty much it.
All right, see you next week.
All right, bye, folks.
Bye.